zbija temne zvizde, ta ponedeljek ob pol devetih zvečer na radiju Študent.
Drage poslušalke in poslušalci, prav lepo pozdravljeni. Danes bomo bolj ležerni, počitniško obarvani. Ne nazadnje gre za poletno edicijo Temne zvezde. Temu primerno bomo v prvem delu oddaje prekrižarili programe prihajajočih poletnih festivalov. V nadaljevanju bomo na kratko ocenili nekaj filmov, ki si jih lahko ogledamo v redni distribuciji, za konec pa bomo še pregledali nekaj pomembnejših filmskih novičk. Pa kar začnimo s panoramskim pregledom poletnih festivalov v naši bližnji soseščini. Med 26. in 30. julijem bo potekal že 17. motovunski filmski festival. Festivalski program, ki ga kurirata Jurica Pavličič in Milena Zajovič, ponuja kar nekaj filmskih sladkosti, pa jih naštejmo. Na Motovunu se bo tako predstavil stari znanec festivala, poljski režiser Pavel Pawlikowski s filmom Ida, ki ga strokovna filmska javnost razglaša za enega ključnih filmov lanske evropske filmske produkcije. Film na Motovunu že večkrat nagrajenega režiserja v spredje postavlja zgodbo o 18-letnem dekletu, ki postopoma, korak za korakom, odkriva svojo resnično identiteto. Kako aktualen pa je tudi film z naslovom Human Capital režiserja Paula Vircija, ki je na letošnjem filmskem festivalu v Tribeki pobral nagrado za najboljšo žensko vlogo. Natančneje, nagrajena je bila Valerija Bruni Tadeši. Brunjeve se zagotovo spomnimo iz odličnega ozonovega filma 5x2. Lani pa je Bruni Tadeši nas opozorila tudi kot režiserka filma A Castle in Italy, ki je bil v Cannesu nominiran za Zlato palmo. Sicer pa se Vircijeva stilizirana neonoar kriminalka sprašuje po koreninah, vzrokih in razlogih za krizo kapitalizma, pri čemer pričujoče vprašanje preprašuje prek zgodb dveh družin. V filmu med drugim nastopa tudi Valerija Golino, še ena velika zvezdnica evropske kinematografije. Tudi tokrat si boste lahko, dragi poslušalci, na Motovunu ogledali film, v katerem žvrgolijo že vsi filmski vrabčki. Gre za Linklaterjev film Boyhood, ki ga je Linklater snemal skozi daljši čas, skozi obdobje 12 let, pri čemer se je osredotočil na Masona, dečka, mladostnika, študenta. A prisluhnimo raje režiserju samemu.
I was turning 40. I'd been a parent for a while. I kind of was compelled to make a film about childhood. It was time to express something about that. But I couldn't find the spot. I couldn't find that moment. And you got the limitation of the age of the actor, so nothing seemed worthy of a full film about one little moment. All my ideas were spread out over all the process. So I kind of had given up the idea of the film. It seemed impossible. I was just going to write some experimental novel or something. And the hands go to hit the keyboard, and this idea comes fully formed, like, oh, well, what if you filmed a little bit of every year, and everyone just, the kids grew up, and the parents, you know, everyone could, hey, why can't you make a movie like that? That there wouldn't be demarcations telling you a year's past. You would just see the maturity. And so that was the idea. So that's the fun part. The tough part was, it's such an impractical, crazy idea, then the mechanics of it. And not to mention getting it financed. But actors got it. When I talked to Ethan Hawke or Patricia Arquette, they were like, that's kind of crazy, but think of the possibility. Yeah, I want to do it. Let's do it. So it was this kind of commitment to this 12-year life project. Harder to say with kids, you know, because they don't, 12 years to a six-year-old, my God, that's crazy. But it was a challenge, technically. It's a simple idea on one hand, but it's so impractical. I can see how it's not likely to be emulated.
Hey, stop, put the barrier up.
I only wanted 10, 15 minutes a year, so, you know, it ended up about a 3-day shoot every year. And I had that luxury to kind of think about what goes on that year, you know, in between, editing as we go. But yeah, the numbers are crazy. It's so impractical that we ultimately spent about 2 years in pre-production, you know, because you had to cast and do locations and crew up and get permits and do tech scout, all the things you do with a movie, we had to do every year. And same with editing, you know, we had to back in the editing room. So and for a low budget feature, we end up 2 years in pre-production, 2 years in post-production. You know, you would never do that.
Hey, dude, welcome to the suck.
I was really looking for those little things. I wanted the film to feel like a memory, really, of, like, him maybe looking back over his childhood from the vantage point of the young adult that he is at the end. So I really wanted to avoid, I mean, just personally, I remember thinking those big moments that are made, you know, they make movies about them, it's represented a lot. I was kind of like, those moments aren't what I remember. You know, I approach everything like that. You know, when I make a teenage movie, it's like, well, what do I remember? And here's the essence of what I remember. And I was kind of trying to do that here. It's like, well, why do I remember this little moment that no one else would? You know, it's a collection of kind of lesser moments. So I could talk about the film on a, can say, oh, 12 years, everybody gets old. And people would ask, well, so what happens in the movie? And I was like, not much, you know, but I was counting on the cumulative effect of, you know, the way we perceive cinema. You really invest in these characters. And I felt that it potentially could have the significance that it has in one's own life, these little memories, if the investment was there in these characters. That these little things that have no business being in a narrative, they don't advance character, they don't advance plot, you know, what has to be in a movie, that you actually could have it, that be the essence of the movie, and it would matter because you are invested in these characters.
How was your week? Well, Dad, you know, it's kind of tough. Joey's kind of a jerk. Actually, he stole some cigarettes from his mom. He wanted me to smoke them, but I said no because I knew what a hard time you had quitting smoking, Dad. How about that? Is that so hard?
Dad, these questions are kind of hard to answer.
What is so hard to answer about what sculpture are you making?
It's abstract.
Okay, that's good. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know you were even interested in abstract art.
I'm not. They make us do it. But, Dad, I mean, why is it all on us, though? You know, what about you? How was your week? You know, who do you hang out with? Do you have a girlfriend? What have you been up to?
I see your point. So we should just let it happen more natural, right? That's what you're saying. Okay, that's what we'll do. Starting now.
I went with the kind of ethereal kid who I liked the way he thought and conversations I had with him. And there were a lot of different ways to go, but I knew he was kind of not from any mold. And a lot of that was parental. He was given a lot of leeway. He wasn't coming out of any cookie cutter at all. So, and that's who he was and who he is. So I kind of went that way. I felt he would be more of an artist. His parents are artists. Then he would be that more than maybe the class president, that kind of kid. So it was just a choice, I guess.
Have you been drinking?
A little bit.
Oh.
We live in the same town, and he's practically like my nephew or something. I just feel like he's family. So if I had an event or something, he and his parents might come. We would meet, and, you know, I might tell him, like, hey, when you at a party this year, or if you meet a girl and find yourself in an intimate conversation, I want you to write down what you say. You know, I want... like a real teenage conversation here. Or, you know, so he became a collaborator, you know, a full artistic collaborator with kind of a, you know, assignments with a guy who, you know, saw the big picture of what the film was trying to articulate and was on board for it. So it was fun to see his maturation from a kid that, you know, when you're working with a seven-year-old, it's kind of a manipulation. Oh, now look here and, do, you know. And then to see him full-blown artistic collaborator, it was a fun trajectory, I guess.
Who do you want to be, Mason? What do you want to do?
You know, you take on projects that you want to be in your life, you know, characters you want to be with. And this was that kind of commitment. And even though I was very busy, you know, this was an interesting 12 years. I got a lot of other films made. And then just as a person, you know, parent and all that. So you got to pick your projects carefully. But this was fun material to have on the back burner the whole time. It was always gestating. Everything could feed into it. It's like, oh, that could go in there. That's an interesting thought. Or really just the luxury of every year thinking. Primarily, I was thinking of what age Eller's character was. You know, like fourth grade, what was that? You know, I could spend a year thinking about that and then get to refine that into whatever we shot that year. And it's really a portrait of parenting, too. I mean, personally, I had these thoughts about childhood, but I also had these thoughts about, you know, maturing through parenting, too. That's such a big element of the movie.
Tako, to je bil Richard Linklater v enem od svojih intervjujev. Poleg izpostavljenih filmskih naslovov pa boste, dragi poslušalci, na spletni strani Motovunskega filmskega festivala lahko našli še veliko zanimivih naslovov filmskih projekcij. Naj vas le še opozorimo, da je letošnji dobitnik nagrade Maverick Andrej Zvegincev, ki ga zelo dobro poznamo tudi v Sloveniji. Leta 2003 je namreč Zvegincev za vrnitev prejel Bodonca na Lifu, prav gotovo pa se ga spomnite tudi po Leni, v kateri ponudi nadroben sociološki portret družbenih razredov sodobne ruske družbe, pri čemer se Zvegincev osredinja na vizualizacijo velikega socialnega prepada med njimi. Več o Motovunskem filmskem festivalu pa najdete na www.motovunfilmfestival.com. Nadaljujemo s pregledom festivalskega filmskega dogajanja. Med 18. in 21. avgustom bo v Radovljici potekal pravi pravcati filmski maraton Movit 6x60. Gre za edinstven filmski dogodek, na katerem prijavljene filmske ekipe v 60 urah napišejo, posnamejo, zmontirajo in dostavijo film, ki ne sme biti krajši od 6 minut. Vsaka filmska ekipa dobi ovojnici, ki jo izžreba 3 usmeritve, ki mora slediti pri ustvarjanju filma. Movit 6x60 bo potekal v sodelovanju s kulturnim društvom Making Go iz Gorice in EGSŠ Radovljica. Več o zanimivem filmskem dogodku pa si lahko preberete na movit6x60.com. Pa še to, prijavite se lahko do 11. avgusta. Še ostajamo zazrti v domača filmska platna. 29. in 30. avgusta se bo v Kranju odvijal nov filmski dogodek, tako imenovani Film Mixer, s katerim želijo organizatorji v Kranju obuditi filmsko kulturo in hkrati popestriti dogajanje v mestu. Film Mixer je nastal na pobudo filmskih profesionalcev in ljubiteljev neodvisne filmske produkcije. Rovi pod starim mestnim jedrom in stolp nekdanje mestne orožarne Škrlovc se bodo tako prelevili v kinodvorane, dvorišče Lerjeve hiše pa bo postalo prizorišče za druženje obraznih spremljevalnih dogodkih. Več o Film Mixerju na Facebook profilu dogodka ter na spletni strani www.filmmixer.si. Če si boste zaželeli nekoliko bolj tradicionalnega filmskega festivala, a pospremljenega s morsko kuliso, vas bogatim tudi mednarodnim programom vabi v gosti najstarejši hrvaški filmski festival, Pulski filmski festival. Slednji se odvija med 12. in 26. julijem. Na njem pa si boste lahko med drugim ogledali tudi Lovčev novi film Jimmy's Hall, v katerem pa je Lovč povedal naslednje.
I believe in my neighbor, my fellow man. Meeting up and struggling to understand our lives as best we can.
Jimmy's Hall is a film that's set in Ireland in 1932. It's about a man called Jimmy Gralton, who came back from the States in the early 20s, actually, and established a dance hall outside the jurisdiction of the church on a plot of his own land with his friends and comrades. Paul Lovett has got an old friend from Nicaragua, Donal O'Kelly, and Donal was doing a stage show about Jimmy Gralton. Told Paul Laverty about it, the story of Jimmy. He had a dance hall with his friends, not sanctified but authorised by the church, and the church took against it, and the landed interests opposed it because it was a place of free ideas and attempted to close it. Paul was intrigued by the story. We talked, he mentioned it to me, we talked about it, and it seemed to bring together a whole group of ideas that we'd been rattling around with for some time. So we just thought, well, we'll have a go at it.
The hall is a safe space where we can think, talk, learn, listen, and laugh and dance. It brings out the best in us. Don't be frightened.
We shot for 7 weeks in County Leitrim, and I mean, it's a fantastic landscape. Early mornings, late nights, of course, as filming always is. A brilliant community around that knew a little of Jimmy Gralton, but not a lot. And that just brought the story to life for us.
Come on. Come on, man.
Are you who I think you are? Are you Jimmy Gralton?
And who wants to know?
It was a time very similar to now, when there'd been a big financial crash, the Wall Street crash of 29. It had led to desperation and poverty and great suffering, mass unemployment and deprivation. What services they were cut. And the working class paid the price, not the bankers. What's new? But it was also a time when the trade unions had been diminished in our country after the general strike in 26, when Labour leaders cooperated with the right wing. There's lots of similarities, really, and the need to assert the interests of working class people was very strong then, and it's very strong now.
If you or your Aaron or anyone lays a hand on this family, you'll get what's coming to you, do you hear me? You're to leave these people in peace in their own home.
Jimmy Gralton is the centre of the film. And he was many things. He was a working class man. He'd from farming stock, but peasant farmer, but he'd done all the manual trades, been dock worker, building worker, been in the army. So, I mean, he'd knocked around as a working man. But he was also political, and I mean, this was the time of the struggle for independence by the Irish. It was the time of the Russian Revolution. It was the time of James Connolly and Jim Larkin, you know, great heroes of the Irish labour movement. So political ideas were current, and the language of politics was very current. And Jimmy Gralton was an organiser for trade unions, as well as working. So he was many things, but also a man of some breadth, of some humanity.
Jimmy, did you ever go to a jazz club when you were over in Harlow?
I did, aye. The Savoy Ballroom. Aye. Grand musicians. The only place in the United States where black and white dance together in peace.
Really?
Marvellous.
Obviously, we wanted to be true to the historical record, so the position we reached was that the everything that we know about Jimmy is in there, and the public events, as it were, are true, as accurate as we could present them. but nothing was known of his private life. And yet a man of such warmth and generosity, as well as his politics, would have had a private life. And to present a rounded character, you had to explore that.
I've had a few good comrades over in New York and helped me find work. What if I asked you to come with me, Una?
What if my mother wasn't Faden? What if I wasn't the only daughter? What if my dad wouldn't fall apart? What if I wasn't so trapped, Jimmy?
What if, Una?
The real priests were... When you read about them, they're quite two-dimensional in the kind of preaching fire and brimstone sermons and taking part in the anti-jazz campaign and the very, very two-dimensional characters. Paul thought, and I agreed with him, that we had to have more complex characters so that the main priest, the senior priest, Father Sheridan, the Jim Norton plays, is absolutely committed to the Catholic Church's line of opposing anything that was outside its jurisdiction by way of education or classes or dancing or whatever. He takes a very firm view on that.
Jazz music.
Naj vas ob tem še opozorimo, da si bo film kot predpremiero moč ogledati tudi v okviru zdaj že utečenega domačega filmskega dogodka oziroma serijala Film pod zvezdami, kjer vas bo čakal tudi že danes omenjeni film Boyhood, pa seveda še pisana bera kvalitetnih filmskih naslovov ter predpremier, poleg Lovča in Linklaterja še filmske predpremiere Dva obraza januarja, Čarovnijo mesečini, Dva dneva, ena noč ter Lucy. Več o filmu pod zvezdami pa na Kinodvorovi spletni strani. Kar pa se tiče Puljskega filmskega festivala, naj omenimo še, da si boste v okviru programa, mednarodnega programa, lahko ogledali še Dolanov film Tom at the Farm. Tako, sedaj smo nakratko pregledali poletni filmske festivale, sedaj pa prehajamo v drugi del oddaje, kjer bomo za vas prebrali tri krajše recenzije. Nadaljujemo sedaj s krajšim recenzijskim pregledom tekočega filmskega programa. Pred kratkim smo si lahko v Kinodvoru ogledali in zanimiv prvi animirani celovečerac priznanega francoskega režiserja Patria Lecoa. Trgovinico za samomore nedvomno odlikuje nekaj pasolinijevskega črnega humorja, pa tudi ščepec kritike potrošništva in sistema, ki slednjega poganja. Zgodba o družini ali bolje zgodba o družinski rodbini, ki se skozi več generacij preživlja s prodaja pripomočkov za samomore, ukvirja subtilna panorama odtojenosti sodobnega človeka, ki zna ali ne zmore poiskati izhoda iz vsakdanjih stisk. Dramaturško je celovečerni animirani prvenec sicer posnet po istoimenski knjižni uspešnici Jeana Toulouse, dobro izpeljan, tudi kakovost animacije prepriča, gledalka in gledalec pa si bosta ogled pastišnega animiranega filma z raznovrstno paleto animatečnih referenc zapomnila po glasbenih vložkih. Vnos elementov musicala po eni strani intenzivira oris nastopajočih značajev, po drugi strani pa zna biti moteč, zlasti, če niste pretirani ljubitelji musicala. Trgovinico za samomore vsekakor odlikuje inovativna ideja, po drugi strani pa trpi za sindrom biti všečen čim širši publiki, kar ima za posledico nekoliko pavšalno scenaristično zasnovo. Tako se mestoma znajdemo v vrtincu dolgoveznosti, ki jo sicer na uglednih festivalih dobro zastopano glasbeno risano komedijo skuša rešiti simpatični naslovni lik. Hibrid med animacijo in igranim filmom pa je tudi kongres, pod katerim se je podpisal Ari Folman, ki je za valček z Baširjem prejel Zlati globus za najboljši tujezični film. Kongres, ekranizacija dela znamenitega Stanislava Lema, čigar opus je hvaležen vir navdiha za številne filmske ustvarjalce. Omenimo na tem mestu vsaj legendarni Solaris Andreja Tarkovskega. kongres, v katerem po avtoreferencialnem ključu naslovna vloga pripada Robin Wright, spremljamo prelivanje raznovrstnih filmskih referenc ter indicev, zaradi česar se zdi, da je celoten film nekakšen meta-avatar. Zgodba o tehnologiji filmskega studija, ki živega igralca odvrže na smetišče zgodovine, potem, ko ga poskenira, se tako zdi strašljivo aktualna. Pa ne zaradi morebitne zastarelosti kinematične tehnologije, temveč zaradi strahov, ki spremljajo širše družbeno-politične procese ter kulturne fenomene, ki nastopajo skupaj z novo in prihajajočo se tehnologijo 21. stoletja. Prav ta širša alegorija, ki jo Folman vkljub posnemanju velikih mojstrov od Kubricka, Tarkovskega, pa če želite Quarona, samozavestno izriše, reši mestoma konfuzen scenarij, ki med drugim trpi za rahlo patetičnost in razvlečenost. Če tudi kongres ne bo nikoli zadobil status kultnih distopičnih filmskih del, ne nazadnje tudi zaradi pretiranega koketiranja s kultnimi pop kulturnimi deli, kar na trenutke deluje že kar izumetničeno, je ideja, ki prbota v zadju, povsem sodobna. Zgodba o skeniranju ne le naših teles, temveč v nadaljevanju tudi kemične strukture naših želja, idej, užitkov, pa tudi strahov, je še kako aktualna, med drugim nenehno propraševana strani raznovrstnih teorij, ki opozarjajo na intenzivno internalizacijo človekove notranjosti z namenom njene apropriacije. Zato bržčas ni naključje, da se je Ari Folman za prezentacijo drugega velikega tehnološkega skoka v filmu, ki ustreza tudi torej drugi etapi filma Kongres, odločil za rabo animacije. No, vse zadnje je animacija najbolj filmska, je čista meta iluzija. Nadaljujemo pa še z enim filmom, ki si ga v teh dneh lahko ogledamo v domači kinematografiji. Gre za film Joe, posnet strani Davida Gordona Greena, ki se ga spomnimo po prvencu George Washington. Za zanimivost naj še povemo, da se je Gordon Green podpisal tudi pod nekaj epizod parodije politične korektnosti serije Eastbound and Down o padlem bejzbol igralcu Kenny Powersu. Prav ta, recimo mu, južnaški patos, ki nedvomno odlikuje Powersov egocentrični značaj, pa je Green unesel tudi omenjeni film Joe, v katerem ne razočara, sicer k razočaranjem, z venomir eno in isto trpečo obrazno grimaso nagnjen Nicolas Cage. No, za razliko od Eastbound and Down je Gordon Green v Joe smrtno resen. Zgodba od boga pozabljenih družin ameriškega juga, kjer vladajo pijanci, družinsko nasilje, brezperspektivno zamere zaradi pozabljenega razloga, se nedvomno umešča v genealogijo filmov, ki jih na primer snima Jeff Nichols, ki smo ga v Sloveniji imeli priložnost poznati že večkrat, od nalifu nagrajenega odličnega Take Shelter, v katerem blesti Michael Shannon, do izvrstnega prvenca Shotgun Stories in prav tako kakovostnega Mat, kjer baklo filmske igre prevzame v zadnjem letu zvezdniško orbito in streljenju Matthew McConaughey. No, Nicolas Cage pač ni Michael Shannon niti Matthew McConaughey, ima pa Joe v sebi nekaj prepoznavnega filmskega realizma ameriškega juga, nekakšnega mitološkega drugega ZDA. Po drugi strani pa je Joe vse preveč predvidljiv, dinamiko med osebnih odnosov, ki delegira scenarij, gledalec hitro prepozna, prav tako razplet, sama fotografija ter igra pa nista tako prepričljiva, da bi uravnovesila scenaristično predvidljivost. Joe je tako čisto korekten film, ki pa mu le manjka Nicholsova estetika, pa če želite, subtilna kritika Debre Grenik v nasledi očetu, v katerem je nase upozorila Jennifer Lawrence. Preden pa se od vas poslovimo, dragi poslušalci, naj vam postrežemo še s filmskimi novičkami. V okviru založbe FDV je išla monografija Petra Stankoviča z naslovom Zgodovina slovenskega celovečernega igranega filma 1. Slovenski klasični film, 1931-1988. Knjigo obsega kar 740 strani, v njej pa avtor kombinira podrobne analize posamičnih filmov, različne podatke in pričevanja, dodaja tudi še nikoli uporabljeno vizualno gradivo, analizo zgodovinskih kontekstov pa stke v kompleksno ali pregledno celoto. V javnost pa je tudi že pricurljala nova podoba 17. festivala slovenskega filma, pa tudi nekaj informacij pestrega spremljevalnega programa. Naj ob tem omenimo vsaj intenziven program filmske vzgoje, katerega nosilci bodo Mad About Film, več o platformi na madaboutfilm.si, Zavod Vizo in Društvo za širenje filmske kulture Kino. Današnjo oddajo sem pripravila Nina Cvar, za tehnično realizacijo je poskrbil Stanko. Veselo poletje in pazite nase.
Zvezda. Za malo denarja, malo filma. Poleti samo enkrat na mesec.